Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. At the 3:30 class this afternoon, Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the search to find in the Scriptures the answer to the question, what does it mean to have humility? This class is broadcast live on the internet also, by the way. So please refer to your bulletin for other activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during this coming week and next Sunday. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 1 and 2. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship of our God with hymn number 36, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Let us continue with hymn number 186, The Church's One Foundation. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 417, In Christ There Is No East or West.
Standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of our High Priest, the Lord Jesus. And as King David said in the Psalms, my soul wait in silence for God, for my expectation is from Him. And Father, we have come together to praise Your name first, to say good things about the Savior, the Prophet of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, who saved our soul. And then, Father, also we come to learn from the Scripture so that we can shape our life each day in the image of our Savior. And our expectation is from Him. Lord, may each one of us take those words to heart, that our expectation from our children will be from You, O God, working in their heart. That our expectation from each other as husband and wife will be from You, O God, because we are weak. We confess to You that we fail over and over. But our expectation is that You will work in our heart to give us a life that reflects the peace, the joy, the love of our Savior. Thank You, Father, because You say it and You will do it. Now, Father, as a church body, we have some who are sick this morning. We pray for Loretta Forrest, our treasurer, who is waiting Your call as she is in bed a long time with cancer. For Bonnie Hoffman on her knees, Father, that You will strengthen her body. Father, for Sharon Morrow, who just had surgery, and we pray that You will strengthen her body. She's in home, but we pray that you strengthen her body, that she will recover the voice and she will be again back in her feet. For Mary and Jerry West, as Jerry is scheduled in the month of March for an examination again, Father, we pray that the strength of his body, the immune system will recover and things will be right for him. For Donald McDowell, Lord, that you put strength in his body. Thank you that this week he has been in this hospital again, but he's out. And Father, thank you again for giving him the opportunity to heal so quickly. And now for Amperetto, our other treasure in our church, we pray that as days go by, you put in her strength. Thank you for the good mind and for the strength so far. Lord, bless all of us, because if it's not one thing, it's the other. We live in a world, and the world is not perfect, as we are not perfect. And so we need your care and your companionship, even in our body. We have a list of missionaries that we support, Fred and Carol Lewis, as next month they're going to be in the new home in Pasadena. For Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, in Spain. David and Denise Rode in Papua, New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Arbendano in Guatemala, Central America. Martha Poretti in Buenos Aires. And Dante and Maruja Rabines in Iquitos, Peru. Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in the city of Gilroy. The Christian Athletic Association in San Jose. And Daniel and Marion Lacey and the Motorsport Ministries. Lord, thank you that you have given us a good list of people who in a diversity of ministries have one goal, that the people may know that there is a God who has sent his Son to rescue our life. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, we pray for our service as the choir sing, as our brother read the scripture, and as we look upon the Word of God, that you will bless us and bless those who are listening over the internet and those who are listening over KKMC, that beautiful radio station in Salinas that goes a long way. Thank you, Father, for those who are in shortwave, because the radio station in Salinas now has shortwave and they can listen in other countries. And we are grateful that we broadcast on the internet. They can be heard around the world. And now the station in Salinas has the shortwave that can be heard also around the world. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to share the scripture so that our life can be built upon the rock, our Savior. Thank you for your people here at Modern Hill who pay the bills. These are the people that sacrificially give. And I want to thank you for each one of them. So bless the offering and bless the giver in the precious name of our Savior. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Thank you for that introduction. Again, I thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 572. We will be reading Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. So will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the marvelous revelation you have given us in the Scriptures, so that we may know you, the one true God and our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the illumination of the Holy Spirit so that we may understand and believe what is written, not only in our minds, but also in our hearts. And even as we were once skeptical of the truth, we pray for any skeptics listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD that they would come to a knowledge of the truth and come to the realization that there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved, except through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, asking that you would bless his work in the study of the Scriptures as he comes to bring the great truths from the Bible. Bless us also as we listen to the exposition of your word so that we may put into practice that which we learned today. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Please be seated.
I thought it was the new style, and even though one time, 1978, I was speaking in New Jersey, and I talked to the people that came with the band. It was the Philharmonic Orchestra of Philadelphia, and with the band, I talked to the band to play when I was speaking for Family Radio. And so Mr. Camping has left the pulpit, and I came in, and the band played the trumpet, and Mr. Camping was like that, and I was like, with a hand like that. We are on the study of a very important topic, Christianity today. Not Christianity of 2,000 years ago, no Christianity of 1,000 years ago, that's church history. We are talking about Christianity today. Our first in our series was Christianity and You, Entire Child Life. Christianity and You explain that you are a Christian not because you are a member of Bethel Baptist or a member of any denomination, whether it is the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church. You are a Christian because Christ Jesus dwells in you. And you know it because you are a different person altogether when that happened. Christianity and Your Life was last Sunday, where we study that life is a vapor, disappear from this form, and takes another form. And our work on this earth is to do God's will. If you were not here, you can go to the archive and the computer. You can go in the back and get your tape, or you can request a CD from these sermons, because it's so important. We live the Christian life very lightly today because of the busyness of our life. But God wants you to consider that we are here on this earth to do God's will. Now is also important when we talk about Christianity and your church. That is today, your church life. It is astonishing how many people think of the church of Christ in terms of stone, cement, bricks, and timber, or if they are just a little more spiritual or religious, they are inclined to think in terms of denominations or organizations. But no such use of the word is found in the New Testament. No church building is found in the New Testament, and not organization is found in the New Testament. If we are to understand what is meant by Christianity and your church, we have to set aside our own thoughts about the church and examine what the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about this important issue. So, if your Bible is open in Matthew 16, here are the concepts set before us. Nothing less and nothing more than the Lord Jesus Himself. Now, the entire scripture, I want you to know, the entire scripture is the Word of God. Whether Jeremiah wrote it, or Moses wrote it, or Daniel wrote it, is the Word of God. But when it comes to the words of Jesus, have a little flavor, don't it? I don't know. It's no more than the others. It's the Word of God. But is the word of Jesus, the one who taught his disciples square to square, eye to eye. And they do not get it, remember, until he's dead. So here it is. We're going to see Christianity and the foundation of the church. Who started the church? Then Christianity and the formation of the church. How the church grows. Christianity and the fellowship of the church. What we're supposed to do together. Then Christianity and the future of the church. What is the future? Many people ask me, what is the goal of your church? That's a good question. What is the future? And then Christianity and the function of the church. How the church needs to operate and so on. It is a brief sermon, about 30 minutes or 29 minutes. But if you pay attention, there is a, inside the bulletin an outline of the sermon so you can pay attention with the Bible and you can review this in your home. And if you are listening, either shortwave, internet, or radio, boy, all the things, and very soon television, I want to tell you that we offer to you all of these free of charge. Offerings of $1,000 or more are welcome. All right. Here it is. Christianity and the foundation of the church. Look at Matthew 16 and verse 18. I'm going to read the text, and then I'm going to read the text in the original language, and your eyes will be open. All right? Here is what it is. In the King James Version, the Bible reads in this way. And I say also unto thee, you, or thou, are Peter. Capital P. You see it? And upon this rock will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, let me break the text in the original language. All right? Christianity and the foundation of the church. What is Jesus saying? First thing he said in this text, he said this, thou art Peter. Now, grammar class, we have to go to grammar. Peter is a noun. It's masculine and it's singular. Now, masculine means not that he's a man, but in any other language in the world, include Arabic and Hebrew, words are masculine or feminine. A table is feminine, a chair is masculine, and so on, depend on the ending of the words. And then you identify sentences and see, tie words with one another. And English is so confusing that this is a mess with these texts. So Peter, noun, proper noun, that means it's a noun, they identify a name, proper noun, and masculine and singular. Now I want to show you in another place in the Bible that name clear. Go to John Gospel, chapter 1, verse 42. You're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John Gospel, chapter 1, verse 42. Also, I want you to know that America is the only country, they only speak English. Every country in Europe speaks at least four languages. But here is English, and it's very hard because how do you translate names from one nation to another? At the time of Jesus, there were three languages going. There was the official language, the Greek Koine language, the Hebrew language, and the Aramaic language of the Arab people. So you have words in different languages, and you have to identify which language it's talking about. So bear with me, class. This is very good. Matthew 1, verse 42. And he brought him, this is Andrew trying to witness about Jesus, and he brought him to Jesus. He brought Simon to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, when he took a look at him, he said, "Thou art Simon, you are Simon, son of Jonah." Now, there was no last name in those times. Last names are created by the Roman Empire. There were no last names. Your name will be Gabriel, the son of Gabriel, because my father was Gabriel. All right? Gabriel, the son of Gabriel the third. It's something like that. And so, you, Simon, the son of Jonah. And now Jesus changed his name. What is his name? He said, "Thou shalt be called Cephas." Now they are in Aramaic territory. And so Jesus used the Aramaic language. And Cephas is the Aramaic language for Petros, the Greek language. So Peter is registered under the Greek language and the register of the county as Peter, the official language of the world, the Roman Empire. And then when Jesus talked to him, he talked to the language of the people in the ground, and he said, "Your name is Cephas. Your name is Peter." So go back to Matthew 16. What is Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying this: "Your name is Peter. Your name is Peter." But Jesus says something else. He said, "Your name is Peter, and upon this rock." Now, in the Greek language, the word rock is a noun, a singular, but it's feminine. That's an entire different word. It's Petra, ending in A. Any word ending in A or ES, some words, are feminine. And so it's an entire different word. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, this is a feminine word for rock. Upon a rock, I will build my church. Now, what rock are you talking about, Jesus? What is the rock? Jesus does not say upon you, Peter, or your successors, I will build my church. But upon this rock, the rock is the divine revelation of Jesus of verse 16. Take a look in verse 16. See? And Simon Peter answered and said, when Jesus said, "What do you think I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. You are the Messiah. Let's put it in terms of Hebrew. Christ, the Greek word, Messiah, the Hebrew word. Now, Messiah, you understand. Messiah means the waiting leader of Israel. You are the Messiah. And then he added, the son of the living God. See? And this is what Peter said. And he said, upon that revelation, upon that rock of truth, I will build my church. So much that if you look in verse 17, Jesus declared that this was not Peter's idea, but was God's idea. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. There was no way that Peter can figure out who Jesus was. The only way he can figure out who Jesus was is if God revealed to him. It's just the same today. You study the scripture all you want. You can be a lawyer. You can be a lawyer in criminal law. You can be a lawyer in international law. You will not get it until God reveals to you. The revelation of that truth on Jesus Christ the church hinged together is only God's privilege to give it to people. So here's what the foundation of the church. The foundation of the church is upon the rock that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior of our soul, and nothing more and nothing less. The church cannot save you. Baptism cannot save you. Taking the Lord's Supper cannot save you. There is nothing that can save you except that revelation of truth that if you believe it, that He took your place in Calvary's cross, then you are indeed the one who are blessed. Yes, amazing. Amazing. The foundation of the church lies upon a piece of truth so simple in verse 16. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. When I ask the Jewish people, do you believe in the Messiah? Yes. Do you believe the Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ? They say no. Well, God has to reveal to them as you. That's it. The church foundation is that truth. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, and there is none. And that's what Jesus said. Your name is Peter, but the truth is that what you said a few minutes ago, a few seconds ago, that's the rock of the foundation of the church. Number two, Christianity and the formation of the church. Christ is a foundation, but also the builder. Look at in chapter 16, verse 18. And I say unto thee, you are Peter, and upon this rock. Now, look at who is the builder. I will build. Is that clear? The formation of the church. Christ is the foundation, but also the builder. He's the architect. He's the designer. He's everything. All right? Now, what did he build? If you go to Germany, you see those Gothic cathedrals, beautiful cathedrals. Is that what Christ is talking about? No. He's talking about stones. What kind of a stone? Living stones. You know, Peter then comes and reveals that to us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, page 714. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Page 714. Here is what Peter revealed about this issue of the formation of the church. Talking about the church, Peter said, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. That is the formation of the church. A spiritual house. It's not talking about a building again. It's talking about you as an individual. And so Christ built human living stones. When you become part of Christ's family, you're a stone alive for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the church in itself. Christianity and the formation of this church. Christ is the foundation. Christ built human living stones. And the growth of the church is done by Christ also. How does the church grow? And this is the problem of Christianity today. Oh, if we change a little bit here, and if we change a little bit there, and if we... I just have a dinner with a fellow who asked me this question. A brother, Manny, took me to a place to dinner in Carmel. And the fellow goes to church, and he asked me this question. What kind of jokes do you say on the pulpit? Know what kind of a scripture I preach? Know what kind of topics I preach? He said, what kind of jokes? And he was telling me one joke after the other. And I said, where did you learn it? In the church. The pastor. And what kind of jokes you have? I can't answer that. They think that coming to church is a theater or something. So the question is then, what is the growth of the church? Oh, the church is packed. We go over there and relax and laugh about it. And go home and go to hell after. You know, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. How does the church grow? Acts chapter 2, please. Page 640. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and verse 42. Here is how the church grew. Peter preached. Acts 2, verse 41. Peter preached. And he preached a sermon he never imagined he would preach. A great sermon. I mean a powerful sermon. Only God can give him such a sermon, where he described the entire life of Christ. And look at what happened when the word of God is preached. Then, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And who added? How did those people were added to them? Who said, raise your hand, walk around the building? What they did? Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And I look in verse 47 now. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And who added? And the Lord added to the church daily those who would be saved. As the word of God goes on over the air and over this auditorium, and as you share the word of God with people, in due time and at his time, he added people to his church. The Lord will never lose anybody that needs to be saved. Never lose anybody. He prayed. He said, Lord, all you gave me, I have saved them. He prayed ahead of time for that in John 17. So Christianity and the formation of the church. Not only Christ is the builder, he is the one who follow and pick up his people. We just need to follow his blueprint. And his blueprint is to preach the word of God. To tell it like it is. And when we tell it like it is, it's hard. And the church is not packed, anxious to hear the word of God. No, people don't want to hear something that makes you guilty. Christianity and the foundation, the great truth. Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Christianity and the formation of the church. He is the great builder. He picked up his people and placed it in his church. Then, number three, Christianity and the fellowship of the church. Look at in Matthew 16 and verse 18. One word tells you what the fellowship is. Matthew 16, verse 18. Thou, you are Peter, and upon this rock of truth, I will build my what? Church. Now, here's a word that you don't know, because you copy that English word, church. But if you will read it in the original language, man, your eyes will be open. Church is spelled in this way. E-K-E-K. Means out of. It's a preposition. Klesia, from the verb kaleo, which means to call. Call out. And now we got the picture. The church is an assembly of people being called out. A church, an assembly of people, the church of God is an assembly of people that God, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus and through the word of God, have called out of their own life into a new place in life. That's what the fellowship is. And they have a fellowship tremendous. Go back again to Acts chapter 2, please, and verse, I'm going to read those verses, after they were called out, in verse 41, look at what happened in verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What is the apostles' doctrine? All the letters of the Bible in the New Testament. And in fellowship, that means in gathering together, and in the breaking of bread, that's the Lord's Supper. And what else, class? Prayer. That's what we broadcast our prayer meeting. I even get criticized by broadcasting the prayer meeting. See, people don't get it. What we need is to get together in prayer, because that's part of the church. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. When the church got together, wonders happened in the city where that church is. And all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and imparted them to all men as every man had needed. That's benevolence between his people. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They don't have a heart divided. They have a heart, my church is my church. We lost that. We lost that. We have activities in America. And the only activity we have is the church as Christian. The church is your activity. That is the center of your emotions. That is the center and the motivations of your life. When I got saved, before saved, I'm going to tell this story. Before I saved, I said crazy things about the church to all my family, to whom I'm going to meet one of my cousins who were very patient with me. He will come and said, we're going to have service. I said, oh, for all people, get out of here. But when I really understood God, when God reached me and placed me into His kingdom, I asked my mother, why the church is closed on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Why is closed? See, that's called the first love in the book of Revelation. You want to be with God's people. I want from my uncle, who was a pastor, to draw into my heart everything he has to say about the scripture. And when the missionaries who were lecturing on Sunday to lecture on Monday and other days, because, you know, you don't have enough for you. There is a passion in your soul to learn from God. Now, that's a Christian. That's a Christian. Christianity and the church has to be first place in your life. In my life in the United States, in 42 years, I lived many years without being a pastor. And I never missed a Sunday in my local church. And when I was sick one day, very sick, in Alameda, the pastor came. And he said, it's contagious. I don't care, he said, Pastor DeBerry. I don't care if I get the sickness. This man never failed on the second pew right there in the church. And I'd be right there with him. And he was with me. Must be 82, 83, 84 now. Amazing. A man of God who, I need to support my pastor. It was not in the Navy out, then I was there. I need to support my pastor. I need to be with him. I need to, when people come to church, the people need to see that the people of God are there. Otherwise, how can I say the church is important and the people of God are not there? You see it? It's simple. Christianity and the fellowship of the church. People call out. Number four, Christianity and the future of the church. What's the future of your church? Many people say, you have a future? Yes, we do. What is your future? They're thinking in buildings, they're thinking in programs, they're thinking all this. Now, I'll show you the future. Matthew 16, verse 18. Boy, I need another hour for this verse. It's just so beautiful. Look at what the Bible says. You are Peter, that's your name, and upon this settled truth, this rock, I will build my church. And what is my future? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hell will not prevail against the church. Wait a minute. You mean, Jesus, that even if my son or my daughter who are so hard to believe, my husband or my wife, it's not an impossibility for them to believe? No. When God said, come, you come regardless. Because God is speaking. Hell can no longer hold the people. See, the truth, the really bad and good truth is this. If you are not a Christian, you are also in the kingdom of hell. If you are a Christian, you are in the kingdom of God. And hell has closed the door for you. Turn your mind crazy. Listen to the Congress of the United States and you can see. They are crazy. Listen to the representatives. They are nuts. Because they don't have Christ in their head. See? But that is today. Can change the next hour. When God said to somebody, come, you come. It's not that you come to Bethel. You come to the kingdom of God. And God is, I don't have the time to go to Matthew 12, 32 to 37 to show you how Jesus said, I bind the old man, I go inside, and I take them out. That's the power of the Lord. And so, the future of the church is that hell cannot hold you. I looked at that. Then I challenged my professor when I heard that years ago, 40 years ago. I'll show you. John 10. John Gospel chapter 10. My professor used this text to tell me that I am secure. John Gospel chapter 10 and verse 28. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Again, the words of Jesus. And look at what he says. He said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I said, hold it. When Jesus died on Calvary cross, was he really dead? He said, yes. Was he active? No. That he went to hell to pay for me? Say yes. That he was completely out of business? Yes. Then Satan had me at that day. He said, Gabriel, keep on reading. Look at verse 29. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So he explained this beautiful scenery 2,000 years ago. When Jesus went to the cross, all the believers that were at that time, he transferred to his Father's hand. He did the work of dying for my sins, and then he gave them back. It's not just wonderful. Look at the provision of God. Here it is. The future of the church is the I am in Jesus' hand, and he transferred to my Father, and the Father holds me, and in thee there is no danger for me to lose my salvation. You're in John? Let's go to John 17:12. John 17:12. Jesus prayed in the past, pray in the present, and pray in the future. It's a beautiful grammatical writing of his prayer. John 17, and look with me to verse 12, what Jesus said. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." I know one who was lost, but the son of perdition only was lost. But whatever the Father gave to Jesus, he lost no one. He qualified to save all of them and to keep on saving until he comes again. That's the future of the church. The hell cannot prevail against the church. The government cannot prevail against the church. The city hall cannot prevail against the church. We are on the right track. We need to go forward, class. We need to move on and exercise the power of God to witness and to bring people in, because nobody can stop us. You know something? One time in soccer, we were in a rollover. Rollover means we win more than 10 games on the roll. I mean, you feel like a ho-ho-ho. You walk, you know. To walk to the stadium, they have guards and police and so on. I just walk. No goal will put on me. So, I walk like, I can do anything I want to, you know. And people will call you. I say, hey, you know, you are 20 years old, 22. You don't know anything in life. The only thing you know is catch a ball. And I tell you. We were in the coach before the underground. There were stadiums with underground locker rooms, and the coach would stay in the stair. He said, "I can see it today." He said, "Nobody can stop us. We kill them. We kill them." He said, "And we go here we go, and here we go." What happened to the church today? We look like dummies. Oh yeah, come on! Our homes have been destroyed. Psychology has taken over. What happened to you? You belong to the King. Church of God, wake up! You belong to the King. Ain't nobody going to stop you when you follow His will. Don't try not to do His will, because He will destroy you and give you a spanking and bring you back. It's not that beautiful. Christianity and the future of the church is in the hands of Jesus. Not in the hands of a pastor. Not in the hands of anybody, it's in the hands of Jesus. And that's what is successful. Thank God. Now, Christianity and the function of the church. Look at Matthew 16, 19 now. What's the function? What am I supposed to do as a church? Because that's the question every pastor should ask. I remember asked the pastor who was teaching practical theology in the seminary. What's the function of the church? I studied in the seminary, it was German, and the pastors were 70 and 80. So thank God, they were respectful men, successful men with big churches. At that time, 1,000, 1,500 people in the year 70. Boy, that's what big churches. Look at verse 19. Jesus speaking. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall bound in heaven. You know what it is? That you have the keys. You have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We have the keys. And we are able to unlock the treasure of truth to people. Each time we open the Bible, we unlock the treasure of truth to people. That's unlocking. That's the keys of the gospel. We have the key of the gospel. And each time we open the gospel, we unlock the treasures of heaven to people. That's the function of the church. Each time something happens, we need to open the scripture and unlock the treasures of heaven to the people. That's the function. Now, how are we going to do that? You walk in this church. On the left side, you have missionaries. Soon, we're going to have other missionaries on the right side. Because our church holds, what, 13? A group of missionaries. Go with me to Romans, please. Romans 6, 6, 7. Romans chapter 10. And let me show you how we unlock heaven. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 to 17. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, in the times of Jesus, the world was divided in two sections. The Greek, in other words, the Hellenist, the Gentiles, and the Jew. And Paul said, there is no difference. They're all the same. Actually, there is no difference today. The same kind of sin they did then, they do now. We do not get more improvement in our life. We are as denigrated and as base as those people were. Without Christ, we have no record of improvement. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the argument in the church of Jerusalem was only the Jew can be saved. So Paul keep on saying, whosoever call upon the name of Jesus can be saved. Even the Americans can call on the name of Jesus and can be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's where the church needs a preacher. Now look at verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? That's where we have missionaries. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's a prophecy in the book of Isaiah in chapter 52. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? It's very hard to believe. Impossible to believe. How then can believe? Verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. My beloved, when you share the word of God, when you study the word of God, you unlock the mysteries of heaven. God has given you the Holy Spirit to unlock the mysteries of heaven. That's our function. That's our function. Christianity and the foundation of the church. Christianity and the formation of the church. Christianity and the fellowship of the church. Christianity and the future of the church. Christianity and the function of the church. It's all about Christ and it's all about the gospel. And it's not about having something beside the church so that we can attract people. It's about preaching the gospel to the best of your knowledge so that God can attract people to the church. And be happy about it. So now I have a few words, a conclusion for you from the Bible. You don't have to look over there. Three things the Bible requires of members of a local church. In Hebrews 10, 22, 23, and 24. He said, let us draw near with a true heart. When you come to church, please have a true heart. Don't come to church just to make one more. Come here to say, I'm going to listen what God has to speak to me. Number two, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. The profession of our faith. Not the memory of our faith. The profession of our faith. You know what profession is? Active development of your faith. If you are a young person, active development of your faith in your home, in your school, whatever you are. If you are a mature person, active in professing your faith with your wife, with your husband, with your children. Being sure that your life shapes by the saying of Jesus. So if you don't read the Bible, you have no chance, don't we? And then, verse 24 says, let us consider one another. Let us have that love, that bind. Rather than criticizing somebody, let us love somebody. And some people, as Paul said, you need to carry piggyback. Carry them piggyback. How long? I don't care how long. Carry them piggyback. Carry them piggyback. Don't give up on people. Just love it. Carry them on your shoulders. Teach them what the love of God really is. And life will be entirely different. Oh, may God bless Bethel. That we may have a church like that. A church like that has future. That means we will keep on preaching the word and unlock the mysteries of heaven to people, and people will be free and will fly in that life. Thank you, Father. Thank you for sharing us the blessedness of your word. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us what a church really is. We pray that you, O God, work in each one of our life till you come. We pray that this church will zero in and unlock in the mysteries of heaven. Never change the message. Never change the standards. Always sharing the truth of the living God. I pray for the members of this church. They will take to heart the sermon. And they will be here every Sunday, every time the doors are open, praying, sharing, so the other people, when they come, they see that we mean it. Oh God, help us not to have a phony Christianity, but a true Christianity. In Jesus I pray, amen.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear. Hear the words of life.
Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.